Okay.
Oh, thank
Good
you.
afternoon, Melbourne. Good afternoon, Australia. And good day or evening to all our international listeners, too. I'm Helen Taylor. Welcome to my show, Inspired Radio. I'm here with you every Wednesday, 12 noon, Melbourne, Australia time, and Tuesday, 7 p.m. Central Time for US, for conversations and stories to inspire you. This is the BBS Radio TV platform, and we're going live to over 190 outlets worldwide. Firstly, before we get started, thank you to our sponsors, to the ones that sponsor the show. You're my foundation, and you keep the show alive. So thank you very much to each and every one of you. Inspired Radio is all about change and getting uncomfortable and shaking up the status quo because we're breaking free from limiting systems and embracing our infinite potential, what we're capable of. My guests are here to tell their story and to reveal how they have overcome change and made better lives for themselves and, of course, others, and to inspire you with their stories because storytelling is creating the new world. So let me introduce today's guest. I've got David Woods, a man with first-hand experience on both sides of the justice system. David has served as a police officer and also worked within the prison system as a guard, giving him a unique inside perspective on how law enforcement and corrections really operate in Australia. So we're going to dive into some big and controversial topics from the structure and legitimacy of our state constitutions across Australia to questions around policing, courts, government departments, and the systems behind fines and enforcement. Because we should all know how this stuff works. So welcome, David. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much, Helen. And it's welcome to all other listeners.
Yeah.
And I hope you enjoy with what I will disclose.
That sounds ominous.
They're very interesting topics, but it can be, I'll try and keep it as simple as possible, not get into the so-called legal jargon, because that's not good for anybody.
Thank
But
you.
hopefully it's an enjoyable session for you all.
Thank you. Thank you. So, can we start firstly? Let me talk about 10-year-old David. Did he know he was in for all of this?
No, it's due to experiences I had as a child, including dying and come back to life when I was very, very, very young, only about 3 months old. So the will to live and the will to assist people, even as a young child, has grown into the adulthood.
Right.
You certainly learn a lot from the teenage to adulthood about respect. I always wanted to be a police officer, but started in the prison service in 1996 and in the state of Victoria in Australia. And then different areas of corrections, including the prisons, the courts dealing with prisoners who are in the prisoner's dock for a jury trial or to be sentenced to go to jail or so forth. Then moved into policing, where it was a total meant to be a total service to the whole state or anyone coming into the state of Victoria, which it is, but not fully. And the prison system taught me, you certainly grow up because you learn the other side of life in certain.
Can you tell me what you mean by that? Because I've got a curiousness about that. What is the other side?
Yeah, the other side is the criminal nature, the aspect of the other side of life with either whether you're poor or whether you got the intention, whether you're reckless to do crime or harm people in any way, whether you're being silly or not, which is alcohol, drugs, etc., or just the whole intent behind it. You certainly dealing with criminals who actually have harmed from murderers, rapists, pedophiles, etc., drug addicts, psychiatric people who've got their psychiatric disorders and who certainly go out of control. You learn to be quick-witted, because they can they will play games with you.
You need to think on your feet, David.
Correct, absolutely. And you need to be in control of any emotions. Otherwise, because certain parts of the jobs can get you down.
Yeah.
And there's always a support service if you ever need it, and rightly so. Because even in the prisons, you'll see assaults, you'll see deaths, etc. There's some good prisoners who just want to do their time, and that's what you want from them. And hopefully, the main aim is for them to rehabilitate themselves. In Victoria, their rehabilitation process was put in 1993 by two lawyers, which on the outset and the beginning of it not good enough. They wanted to amend their Sentencing Act in 1991 in this state of Victoria, which they did to reflect more rehabilitative measures for people who harmed, or what the courts would believe that should go to complete programs, etc.
Well, that has to be the focus, doesn't it?
Correct. But I'd like it to go further, knowing this side of things, and they didn't get it right. And since 1993, it's all about the offenders. And I'm telling you the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, which is part of the oaths, because that is true. It's not about the victims, not about people who've been harmed at all. It's about the offenders, and that can be proven beyond doubt. I've witnessed it so many times.
What do you mean by that? I don't understand that. What do you mean?
Yeah, the when you go into the courts, yes, they'll treat you fairly, or what you think they will, behind their little disguise, etc. The way they do things, they play tricks. The sentencing, if someone gets found guilty of a serious crime, or even a medium-sized criminal crime where harm is caused, the sentences is all about the offender on how they will rehabilitate, but without proof or showing that their chance of rehabilitation will be affected, because most of them say, or their lawyer will say, Your Honour, my client will adhere to all the instructions by the court, do their programs, whatever it is for rehabilitation. Some of them will do it, not fully. Very few will fulfill all this and be rehabilitated, come back in the community, and be a worthwhile individual. Most of them will reoffend, in other words, or be a recidivist, repeat offender, in other words. And they get lenient sentences, even in the first batch, because most of the courts will do what is called concurrent sentencing, and that's around the world, not in all countries. Concurrent sentencing is whether you, if you're being charged and found guilty of multiple criminal offences, doesn't matter what it is, they'll merge them all into one, and you'll just get one sentence. Even though they might sentence you to all of them, but then they just do an average.
So tell me, what's the focus of the court? What are they looking for? What are they?
Well, the courts are totally corrupt in Victoria, but all around, even around Australia, the sentencing for a lot of serious crimes, or heinous crimes, or felonies in America, which they still use in New South Wales and a few others, we use serious indictable, which is for the same thing technically in Victoria, is not relative to what community wants. Most
Okay, so there's a
people
big
want
gap between
correct.
how the court sees it and how the public sees it.
Correct.
Nobody's listening to the public, are they?
Correct.
And you
Yeah.
got to see this firsthand by working with
Correct.
them, right?
I can tell you for a fact, sitting on sitting with prisoners next to them to make sure they won't go out of the court or so forth, or escape from custody inside the court underneath the cells with the courts. It's all about the offender, and it needs to come back to both. All about people who have been harmed as well. They need a lot more services if they want it. So, and I'll tell you when we get to that point of what we're doing, the victims of crime will, if people want this stuff,
Are
receive a
you
lot
saying
more.
that the system, the court system, is all about the offender more?
Correct.
Holy
Oh
cow.
yeah, it's all about the equipment. I've had, and I'll name her because I'll indict her, in other words, charge her with serious offences if she wants to play. Elena Popovic was a magistrate. And in on the 21st of June 2007, I had a repeat offender, a mother who was a drug addict. I won't say where. I was the police officer who charged her with two separate offending from a supermarket, then went into another suburb and tried to steal things from a car. The victims in the suburb where she was trying to steal things from their car wanted to deal with her. You can understand. We managed to, because of their second criminal offence, able to get a bail justice who has the authority to put the individual into a jail cell or put them on bail. We managed her to put her in jail until a next court hearing, which was a day or so after, which was good. So hopefully she wouldn't continue to re-offend by
So your
committing.
goal as a police officer was what?
The police are to keep people safe, but that's an oxymoron sometimes,
Sure.
because police are not there to punish, but they do unlawfully. But you're there, they're there under the UK monarch, and you give your oath of allegiance to the UK monarch to serve the people and to prevent crime, etc., but also to help people in all different ways, because the UK monarchs can't do it. That's why the courts are there, the Attorney General, the law officer of the monarchs, who is a barrister in Parliament, they're there to provide solely for the welfare of the people, because the monarch from England can't do it. That's in very, very basic form.
But if you're saying to me that as a police officer, you were seeing that the court systems were just looking at the offender and not the victim, how do you keep doing your job?
Yeah, it's frustrating.
Right.
I can tell you a story. It was at Sunshine Magistrates Court. Oh, actually, I better get back before with Elena Popovic, that magistrate. She said regarding that lady who was a drug addict and did two separate criminal offences, and the second offence, or both offences, were thefts. In other words, a dishonesty offence,
Right.
where you're being dishonest to obtain property or so forth.
Yep.
She said, "Oh, well, theft is a minor offence," and I'll never forget it. But I didn't know what is called the cable principle in Australia,
So what was she essentially saying?
that theft is a minor offence to her.
And that
She,
means
and
what?
that means she would like the Crimes Act or criminal codes in other states that deals with all the serious crimes, changed to say that theft, which has been around for centuries,
Yep.
is only a minor offence when it's actually a very serious criminal offence.
And does that mean she wanted to take it off the table?
Yeah, technically. And
How?
the cable principle in 1996, Gregory Wayne Cable versus New South Wales, he allegedly murdered, which he did, he murdered his wife and started threatening witnesses whilst in jail. The Supreme Court tried to assist, just in basic words, they tried to assist the victims to say that hopefully he wouldn't continually threaten them. So technically, the Supreme Court acted that there's the Parliament, the High Court here in Australia laid it out. Well, you're not the Parliament, Supreme Court. There's you go, there's your cable principle. The Supreme Court's not a Parliament. like anybody, you're not a parliament. Only the parliament can legislate, in other words, create a bill, debate it, and it should be checked, which nothing is, and that's how it's unconstitutional, but that's another story.
And where are the people in all of this? I mean,
Correct.
none of us are getting asked anything, or none of us are privy to any of this at all.
Correct.
There's only a chosen few that are making changes and decisions. Gosh.
That is absolutely correct, Helen, because, and that's not the way it should be. It, if people want, when we get into it, it with the way it will be, I can tell you, because the people need more say.
Well, is that getting back to the town square with the stocks?
Oh, well, that's corporal punishment, and if they, if you use in Section 8 of the Bill of Rights Act 1688, 89, there's, you can't have cruel or unusual punishments,
Okay,
which
so
they've
tomatoes are
preceded in
out.
Ireland.
Okay.
Yeah, so, but otherwise, there's people I know that will agree to this. And in some ways, it's got its right place. But all you need is the people voting in a referendum, all people, to say, yes, we want this. And then it has to be done. And that might be a matter of time. Another example I'll give you just very quickly, a magistrate's court, which is the lowest court, or in New South Wales they call it a local court. Magistrates actually come from England, etc. A gentleman, he's not a gentleman actually, he was an Islander bloke, Samoan or something like that. He was only young. He did what was called an armed robbery. Armed robbery, or robbery in itself, is when I take something from, just say yourself, Helen, if I use that as an analogy, I take it from you from force, whether it's a necklace, whether it's your handbag, whether it's your purse, whether it's a watch, anything I buy force, money. But if you use a pen to a nuclear bomb, whatever it is, doesn't matter what level it is, to threaten or damage in order to get what you want, that's called armed robbery. And he did this on, I think it's a service station from my memory. And they heard it in the lowest court rather than our middle court, which is the county court, another term from England. It should have been in the county court because it's a minimum, it's a maximum of 25 years. If I get my way, it'll be minimum 25 years. And then we'll see how many offenders want to offend, because you won't want to be spending minimum 25 years to life in jail. So they heard it. I don't know why the police accepted it. Did they inform the victim, who was obviously hurt by the armed robbery, with the threat or the actual commission of it, where they obtained what they wanted to obtain, or the alleged attempt where they tried to obtain what they wanted to obtain from the people? They heard it in the lowest court, the magistrate's court at Sunshine. He got 4 years. No, actually, no, 4 months. Yeah, that's right, 4 months for an armed robbery. But I think it was a knife, or if not, it was something similar to that from my memory. And when he went back, I escorted him back to the cells underneath the police station and the court. He laughed his head off. And you just want, as a police officer, let alone that, you just want to do something to him. But you can't, because there's all cameras. But it just shows you, and even with the spate, and I don't want to talk about it too much, with the teenagers, even one today on the news, doing aggravated burglaries. All a burglary is in itself is what's called a home invasion, what the media say, or someone coming into your property without your consent, in other words, to do a theft, to assault someone, in other words, hit you, however you want to cause harm, deceive you, etc. And when you know someone who is present, Just say I went into your house, Helen, which I'd never do without your consent. But just say I went in there, I broke in on however I need to, whether it's either a finger or a foot through the door, window, roof, whatever it is, there's the intent to do it.
Right.
So if I know that you're home, or I've made an inference that you're home and I'm still going to do it, there's your aggravated burglary, because you're there to do harm, whether it's just take things, whether it's damage things, whether it's assault you, deceive you in any way, there's your higher offence. Because burglary, where they say it's 10, 15 years maximum, aggravated burglary is like armed robbery, maximum 25 years, should be minimum.
So, am I right that I'm hearing you say that through your own experiences, you've seen the injustice of this system
Correct.
and you've seen it get worse, not better?
Correct. It'll be interesting to see whether they do a Royal Commission on things like this.
But people are so used to hearing even that term. And, from the, if you look at the history of royal commissions, what are the outcomes of them?
Yeah, that's all going to change. We're doing this in this new constitution that me and my brother are doing it. I can tell you, they must put all recommendations in. If not, you breach, and they will be held accountable. There's going to be an efficient prosecution for politicians and all that.
We'll get into that
Yeah,
constitution
that's right.
bit,
That's
right?
right.
But what I'm hearing from you is that through your own experiences, you have seen that the system is focused on the offender, that rehabilitation is probably poor, if not working at all. Is that right?
Correct. For most people, it doesn't, because they choose not to stop offending and start living their life, etc. Some people actually do it, and well done to them. Take the hat off to them that they're
Because what I was
rehabilitated.
hearing from you earlier, you as a police officer, you were being asked to evolve yourself, to learn and educate yourself. You had to be able to read body language. You had to know
Correct.
the mental states of people. You had to be on
Correct.
guard and focused. So you had to train yourself and educate yourself.
Yeah,
So
the
why
prison
should.
service helped me with that, I can tell you.
Yep.
Because otherwise, a lot of police don't know that aspect of it. You get to investigate different crimes, etc. That's great. But able to communicate with someone is a learned skill. Some people have it straight off the bat, but that's very, very few. Because communication, in all, as you very well know, body language is around about 85, 88%, and the rest of it's communication in different ways. So, but
So
with
why,
most people,
how can we encourage offenders to want to be better? How do they do that right now?
well, I don't know the updates. With it, I've noticed that in some ways it's got worse. Officers leaving, prison officers I'm talking about leaving, prison officers just doing their job because they want a job, etc. There's a gentleman I work with, but his sister-in-law, I think it is, was the one who was working at Port Phillip, a jail down in Laverton in the west side of Melbourne in Victoria. And she was the one, the poor one, where they were offering prisoners hot drinks and sugar in their cells, and which will be banned, I can tell you, which shouldn't be the case anyway.
Why
I
was she
don't
doing
know.
that? Is does that have a sedative sort of effect or a calming effect?
No, the other effect is they misuse it. Some prisoners will do the right thing by just drinking it, etc.
What else
And
did you do with it?
enjoying their cuppa, right? But this offender obviously was playing up. The prison officer lady handed them what I know of, the cup, sugar. They took it, put the sugar in their cup, mixed it up with their little plastic little stirrer, etc., or spoon. They don't have metal spoons in there, they have plastic, which is sometimes a problem as well, because you can make weapons out of them. Then actually threw it at her. So the sugar still cooking in the hot water seriously burnt her. They don't know the process in Victoria, and like it is with most states and other countries as well, they have a victim's service. And I don't know how much help the lady has got. And I've heard that she's got post-traumatic stress syndrome from it and doesn't work,
So you
etc.,
said
which is
before
sad.
that a lot of the officers are either leaving the system or they're just becoming very complacent and just doing their job.
Most of them will be on board, where they will make sure that the prison's safe and secure, which is the role of prison officers, for the good order, and they say it, good order and management of the jails and the police cells as well. But some of them will be, I just want to do my job for sure, because they get sick and tired of it. I've met different people who've left the prisons. There's some people I know who are still in there. Who I used to work with, but others have certainly left, and it's not a job that for everybody. It's not the glory, and they thankfully they tell you in interviews what I've heard from people who went for it and then chose not to do
Well, a lot of people
it.
like to see achievement in their job play, their workplace, don't they? They want to see that they're making the world a better place in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, correct. There is. A lot of re there's different research because they've looked at different countries, sometimes different states in relation to the prisons, as well as different areas of accountability. But the Texas system with wearing pink uniforms, etc., and their rules in relation to what prisoners do is actually quite good. They're fairly it's a secure prison, but it's not the most secure because the prisoners know who are there. You're on a reasonable good wicket, if I can use that analogy, to say that if you stuff up, you're going to go into a harsher jail. That's a quite a good system that I know of, and it has positives.
And it's
Whether they
beneficial because they think they've got a little sense of freedom and movement.
Yeah, correct. And it's similar, but it's like you've got our harshest jail in Victoria, which is not too harsh, but it is. It's at Barwon down Geelong area. They've got Marganite now, which is, they call them A class, B class, and C class jails. A is your most serious jail, which is at Barwon down Geelong. Your B class is Marganite, which is a bit less than Geelong, and the Port Phillip prison down at Laverton, and the Metropolitan Prison at Truganina, which is very close to each other anyway, in distance wise for people overseas. They're B class jails because they're secure, with wire fences, etc. And it's only one way in, one way out, in other words, through locked doors and all that. Where you've got Durrangold down up at Seymour in the north of Victoria, that's a C-class jail. You've got Loddon is, I think, could be a C-class jail, where you've got a bit more freedom, and you're able to roam a bit for the prisoners. And it depends on your attitude, of course. If you are well behaved, you do your time in jail. You get to stay there and you do your sentence and you finish off your jail sentence at that particular prison. And then,
Misbehave, then you go into harsher conditions.
and
Harsh.
that can be the way, that's correct. It used to be the governor who was in charge of the jails would determine it. Now, more so, it's the courts, which it should technically be because it's technically a punishment, will decide whether. No, you deserve to go to whatever jail or where the availability is. Some of them might be quite packed out, or that the offender may not be able to go to a particular jail because of certain things. What happens in Victoria, you'll go to an assessment prison, which is in Spencer Street in Melbourne, in the city of Melbourne. called the Melbourne Assessment Prison or the Remand Centre, the same thing.
Yeah.
And that is very secure, quite secure, I should say, with an analogy.
Well,
They assess you.
can I ask you a question there? I mean,
Yes.
up till now, people now know a hell of a lot more about our prison systems than they ever knew before. I certainly never knew all of this. They certainly know, the structure, and thank you for sharing like all of that with us as well. So I think everyone listening is not going to find themselves a part of that system.
No,
That's
and I hope not. It's not
certainly not
good.
what they're aiming for. But if they had to visit somebody, like what are our rights? What can we do if we need to? Can we go in and see people? Can we send them messages? Can you phone somebody? Because I'm watching at the moment with people that are starting to look at self-governance and looking at different ways to live, that sometimes they're arguing with the system, they're pushing back on the system, and they're finding themselves getting arrested for not paying a fine or for not getting breath tested and things like that.
Correct.
So
We're keeping a lot of things with this new constitution we're doing. It'll be reciprocated through all the states. But I can tell you have a right to go into the jails. You will be screened like any jail. Doesn't matter what country. Some of them are quite serious.
And what does
They've been
screening
doing.
mean? Does it mean getting a pat down and
You will be pat down. You'll get an electronic screen when you walk through, like the airports
like the airport?
nowadays, which is fair. So you don't have weapons, drugs, or any other thing that it could prevent the safety of the jail, prisoners, staff, etc., contractors, counselors, doctors, etc., teachers, and all that. So, which is only fair. They've been doing eye scans, which is unlawful. I had mine done at the Metropolitan Remand Centre in Truganina in 2007-8. I
Even
didn't know at
back
the
then.
time.
Wow.
Yes, the politicians have exceeded their duty, or the commissioner for the prisons has exceeded their duty, and it's all it's.
20 years ago, eye scans.
Yep, and it's apparently still occurring with what I know of, with some people who tried to go into prisons and they were asked to do it. And they were told if you do go in, you must, even as an employee, do it, an eye scan. So we don't know where they're keeping the information. And because doing the eye is linking partly to the DNA, that's the troubling thing. It's going to be unlawfully, it's going to be banned, and has to be possibly inquiry if people want to
Well,
see
let's
where
get
the.
back to our rights in going to visit somebody. So we get scanned, we get a pat down, but we're allowed to go in there. Are we allowed to call them? Are they allowed to take calls? Because I've heard of some people being denied those things.
Correct. It's up to the management of the jails or police cells, etc.
Right.
If the police cells, it'll be the sergeant or the inspector. In the jails, it's the governor, or it was the governor, it might be the commissioner, but it doesn't matter. They're in charge and management of the jails,
Right.
and also the senior prison officers who will, you go by their rules, that you must obey the rules whilst on site.
Yep.
And which is that you don't cause harm to either a prisoner or anyone in the jails. You will be screened, not just physically, but your name, your date of birth, you were born, we're not birthed. The address, associates will be asked off you. There's much
People,
detail.
associates being they need somebody who knows you.
Friends, families, people you hang around with,
And
they'll do
what
a
if you don't,
history
what if you don't
check.
want to do that?
Well, then they can refuse you entry. And that's up to them because technically you're going into the place. It's like a home.
Well, you're
If
going into
you.
their jurisdiction, aren't you, really?
Correct. That's right. So they can do, other than the eye scan, that's unlawful, but the rest of it they can technically do. You used to have. The prisoners have or used to have a prisoner's information management number, PIN, for short.
Right.
And the visitors will have a similar acronym name, and you'll have an identity number when you go in, if you re-go into the prison to visit prisoners, etc. And it doesn't matter for contractors, etc., priests, etc., etc., etc. Everyone gets checked or should be checked. That's a thing, should be, to make sure that they're not doing anything that might harm the jail or the staff, etc. The management of it, in other
Are
words.
they a risk or not? Yes.
Correct, correct. With the jails, so, very rarely in the police cells, that's because you can't, but in the jails, you'll have family visits, or in other words, an open visit where you get to physically touch, etc., your family member, kiss, whatever you want to do, talk. Otherwise, you've got, like most jails have, you'll have your secluded visit area, and the police cells are the same. You'll have a secluded area, but it'll be glass or it'll be something that's secure between you and the visitor.
We've all seen that on the movies, David.
Correct, and that's correct.
Yep.
And it's still the same.
Sorry to butt in
You're
there,
right.
but I want to get to your constitution and what you're talking about there as well, right? And we've got 20 minutes to go, so I'm going
Oh, we'll hurry it up
I
anyway.
well, I just want to ask the question. Are, people in the police force and in the prison system, like the guards, etc., are they open to change? Are they open to your like things like your constitution and things like that? Because, if we're
So
going to
some of them, to just let you know, some of them are, but some of them are just so ignorant. And there's a rule of law called ignorance of the law is no excuse. And that's subjective, but it means that it's constitutional law, of course. It's the law of nature, which is even higher, because you can't beat it. But or any so-called statute, act, law, if you want, from a parliament is for everyone to obey. No one's meant to be above the law. So with police, and in the state of Victoria, they've corporatised everything, including police. So that's a serious charge against every police officer. They've corporatised the courts. They've removed the oath of allegiance for all lawyers, which is the courts themselves, because they're barristers, in 2000, the year 2000, after we in Australia we had a Commonwealth or a national referendum to keep the UK monarch and to change in the Commonwealth Constitution, two main sections. The people said no. So what they did is they couldn't care less about what the people thought in Victoria. They removed the oath of allegiance for lawyers under the Courts and Tribunals Further Amendment Act, September 2000, Section 3. Oath of allegiance no longer required. And they're all ignorant.
So, who is the allegiance to?
Just an oath of office under the Supreme Court. And that's the other oath that they do. So they only do that.
And by removing it, what does that mean?
That's a treason indictment. But we have to put a better definition in, because most of the politicians, either federally in Australia and around the states, have just put harming the monarch or the monarch, UK monarch, Queen, King, or their families is treason. Yes,
We're
that's
all still
one
under the
minor
British.
part.
We're still under British rule in that one, yeah.
We are in certain ways, but not fully, because of unlawful processes, and I won't go into it today. But generally, they've corporatised everything, including government departments, which is absolutely unlawful. Probably because this state is in so much debt, they technically should be bankrupted. They're
Yes.
in $188 to $190 billion debt, which they advertise on their own websites. Economists have all gone through it, forensic accountants have already gone through it, and they confirm that. So technically, why aren't the liquidators or the administrators in for this
Yes,
state?
yeah. If it was any of us and we were running a business,
Correct.
we'd be done. We'd be gone, long
Correct.
gone.
Yep. We're going to ask, we're doing a new constitution for this state because they don't have a valid constitution act. Just in brief, the states were meant to put a referendum process for all people of the state They should have done it before 1901, 1901. There's a book written in 1901, which the High Court have backed up over 182 times. It deals with the Commonwealth as the federal government. It deals with the colonies who became states, which is fair enough. It deals with the territories within Australia. This book is totally ignored in the States. No court has referred to it other than the High Court in Australia, which was in Canberra. On page 990 of the this book called The Annotated Constitution of the Commonwealth by John Quick, the Victorian barrister, and Robert Garran, a New South Wales barrister. It's a lot of work. It would have been a lot of work back then.
Sure.
They said that on page 990, the referendum process relates to the federal government, which is the Commonwealth, and to the states. And the state of Victoria, I think, is still a state. They never put one in, nor did New South Wales, South Australia. These are different states of Australia. Tasmania, Victoria, Tasmania, and South Australia are all the same, all unlawful in the in constitutional law. New South Wales technically as well. Queensland, oh my gosh, they're even worse. They overthrew their checking house, which is called the Legislative Council, because you're meant to have two houses of parliament from England. And there was an 1850 Constitution Act that Queen Victoria, the reigning monarch at the time, passed, which said to follow English law, which is also two houses of parliament. You've got a lower house for the allegedly the people, and the upper house is a checking house to make sure that the lower house is doing their job and to make sure that things are constitutionally valid and that they don't override it. But they've never done it properly, or they don't even do it anyway. And then Queensland in 1919 said to the people, "We want to have your vote through a referendum to see whether we want to remove the upper house." People said no, and it's clearly on the Parliament's website and the Electoral Commission website in Queensland that they had a referendum. The people said no. In 1922, their alleged governor, which is meant to be the Queen's or King's representative of England within the state of Queensland, just organised with the Parliament, and they just said created an Act of Parliament and said we're removing the Legislative Council. The
Well,
state's
I
totally.
think I became very, very cynical decades ago because I used to watch whatever got put forward to the Victoria, the state of Victoria, to the people. I would watch and I would see that it was being put to everybody to vote on or to acknowledge or whatever. And I started realizing that as soon as that would happen, it didn't matter what the outcome was from the
Correct.
people. It was only going to be a matter of months or a little bit of time before it would happen anyway. And
Correct.
I started feeling very cynical watching all of that.
Correct. You're totally correct, Helen. The politicians believe they're the highest authority or sovereign. That is t a total misleading, or in other words, a lie. The people collectively in Australia are the highest authority.
Correct.
And that was created from 1900. Okay? We're being totally lied to. Politicians will continually tell you that we're sovereign and that's the way they act and we'll do whatever we want. In Victoria, like one or two of the other states, they play like they're England, the powers of the English Parliament. That is an absolute fraud, or in other words, deception on the people. Because the state of Victoria, like all the other states, had previous constitutions where they have to they can't override. They were from England. Victoria and New South Wales have got an 1855 one. Queensland 1867. Tasmania, I think, is 1856, from memory. In those constitutions. and from
So you're
English
saying
court.
that every state and territory has its own constitution?
Yes, that's correct. A constitution enables the parliament to act under it and not override it, that it's got all its powers within that constitution. Like the Commonwealth in federally here in Australia, they've got Section 51, which outlines all their powers that they've got. There's no other powers, and they breach it anyway as well.
Sure.
I'll deal with them. But in the
How if you're okay, I mean we could do hours on this. You've got tons
correct.
of knowledge, from research and personal experience.
Correct.
How is your constitution that you're working on now, how are you going to implement that?
Yes, we're bringing a constitution for the people for the first time because of the corruption, the amount of corruption. In the in Australia, we've got a referendum process which they brought it in from Switzerland, which is good, but they've never adhered to how Switzerland do it, which is typical. If they did, we'd be having a lot more referendums. You will be having a lot more vote by all people called a referendum to formalize any change,
Yes, which is how it
new
should
or to
be.
remove things, remove, change, or which is alter or create, etc. The you it's gonna the Constitution is for the people. There's it's absolutely honourable. People are more than welcome to have a copy. We're about 88% done. Just to put some more human rights in that are not in our Human Rights Act in Victoria. And we're doing it in accordance with law of nature.
Right.
And the lesser laws is laws from Parliament. The customary laws from the Indigenous people are the same level as the laws from Parliament, only because there's abuse in their laws. Some of their customary procedure aspects, what they do with the Indigenous Aborigine, is very honourable, but some of it's not good. It's harm. So that part we don't want.
Okay.
We're trying to work with them as well. But this constitution will go over. There is a section 109 that relates to all states, and the territories are, it relates to them as well, because we had a referendum in 1977 that said, people said, we want actually territories to become states. They ticked the box. Yep, it was agreed to, formalised. So they're technically states, and the High Court in Australia, our highest court here, have reaffirmed it eventually. Eventually. So under Section 109, it's called the invalidity section, or to invalidate something between a federal act, which is a constitution, or any federal Commonwealth Act, and any state act, which is including a constitution. If I use a quick analogy by the Chief Justice of the High Court, one of the original ones, was Samuel Griffiths. In 1900 and when is it? 1904 in New South Wales versus the Commonwealth, I think it's 1904. He says on the top of page two, talking about the Commonwealth Constitution, that it's the same with a state constitution or previous as a colony constitution. It doesn't matter what country you're in, most of them have got a constitution act which the politicians and people must obey. He says the constitution is an act of parliament. Correct. And it's important on the terms, it's an act, it's a statute, it's a law of parliament. So when you come to section 109, if the Commonwealth Constitution's an act of parliament, the state constitution, colony constitution, previously within all the states and colonies as they were, is an act of parliament. So if one act is inconsistent with the federal act, it's invalid, and we'll use it that way. And section 109 in Australia doesn't say that we have to go to a court.
Well, simply put, what comes first has the power.
Correct. Oh, in that way, it's if you use that analogy, there's an analogy called the first in time, best in law. It really pertains to property law, land, etc. But it can relate it to constitutional law and natural law, etc. and so forth. So we're going to use Section 109 because the High Court in two different cases, but it's only one justice each.
How do you invoke it?
Just by using Section 109, and if we have to, we'll go to the High Court to do it,
That's what I'm.
to invalidate it, because the High Court's a bit corrupt too. Their registry's got CEOs in breach of the powers of the Parliament federally. They've had it since even 2007.
It's been corporatized as well.
In the registry part
Okay.
of it, which is not good, and the High Court haven't even dealt with it. The same with the Federal Court in Australia, Family Court in Australia, and it says it in their acts, the CEO. It's absolutely unlawful because federally are limited in relation to corporation power. The states are not, but the states will be limited because a corporation, doesn't matter what country you're in, including the United States, I can tell you, because the High Court here in Australia, our highest court, have confirmed United States Supreme Court cases, which is their highest court in the United States, and other Supreme Court cases that a corporation is made up, in basic terms, made up of all people under the name of the corporation. So you can't have human rights because the corporation itself, the building, the name, the organization, whatever you want to call it as, can't have a right of a man, woman, etc.
Because it's made up. Yes.
Correct. So you're artificial in law. A lovely justice in the High Court, become the Chief Justice before he became the first Australian Governor General in 1931, was Isaac Isaacs. He was part of the convention or the parliamentary debates in the 1890s. And he has said a lot of good quotes.
Yeah.
And he certainly says about the role of a politician in Horne versus Barber, 1920 High Court case, which the politicians just ignore. And he outlines it brilliantly. It's based on a man at the time, but I'm not going to worry about man, woman, etc., even at the time. But what he says, it's been backed up six times by the High Court, his quote.
Well, did
But
we? I mean, 100 years ago, or even 120 years
it's
ago,
still relevant.
we had some incredible thinkers, didn't we?
It's still relevant. I can tell you the High Court here used 1500 year cases with Lord Coke or Cook, and a lot, some Americans will know that gentleman, or no, I should know of him because he was seen as a very high intelligent barrister. They use 1600, 1700, 1800 cases. They even use 1300 cases. I can tell you. They deal with the law of fraud, the statute of fraud, 1666. They cite or refer to the Magna Carta, which is not for the people, but that's 12, 15. Where King John, we know he sold out to the Vatican back then. In 1225, they decided to make it an official act of Parliament. In Victoria, we use 1297 amended version. It's still very relevant. And as per one justice in the High Court, in quoted it both times in different cases, Lionel Murphy, who died in 1985. He said they're silent constitutional principles, all old in English laws. And he's correct. They're not officially in a constitution, but they are referred to. And they still refer to old laws, such as if we were talking before about the prisons. If you want to get out of jail, etc., on back on bail, where you have an surety to say that you will appear at court, you can use habeas corpus. HABEAS and then the second word CORPUS, and a lot of other countries use it, so don't worry. Oh, yes, the US use it, I can tell you. To get out of jail and get back on bail or with other any restrictions, so you get out of jail for that. And again, that relates to also if you're being the court has ordered you to go into a mental facility, you can
Ah,
use
that's an
habeas
interesting
corpus to
one.
get out of that.
That's an interesting one. Yes, people take note of that because you call yourself a sovereign anything these days. And I think the police and others are being educated to put a red flag on
Yeah, but
anybody.
the sovereign citizen movement is, as much as I respect them, it's wrong. You're not sovereign by yourself. Under the Bibles and other things like that, you are sovereign in yourself, but it goes a lot more, right? In Australia, like it's similar to America, but America's different. You can't really go off America. They're totally different, and that's what they wanted in the 1890s. And the High Court have discussed it that we're not like America. We want to be different, but we use some parts of the American Constitution in the federal
What
Constitution.
I think I'm seeing is that you know you can invoke habeas corpus if you're being looked at by the authorities as having a mental issue or something like that.
Correct. And it's already been said, and when the courts stop playing games, they will say, well, no one's a doctor or medically trained to say that
Absolutely.
you deserve to be going into a
Absolutely.
mental facility.
Yeah.
And now there's been court cases in different states in Australia that says that, which is correct.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. Hang on. I'm going to pull you back there. I'm sorry. We've got a minute and a half to go. And
Oh.
we've got off the topic of your constitution, but essentially you.
But this, I can tell you, Helen, it's absolutely honourable. We'll certainly supply your copy. It's for the people. You'll have a lot more referendums, royal commissions. I can tell you, with all of them back 30 years ago, must be implemented. The courts will be checking all bills. If they don't, people are going to be held accountable. You will be going to jail. There is no recourse, etc. There's a lot more justice for people. Victims of crime will get like accident compensation victims or workplace victims who have been killed or a total injury where you're permanent injury up to 500,000. They get that. So why aren't victims of crime getting that? Up to 500,000 without having to take civil action to get money
Well, you're
or
saying that your constitution that you're writing is going to give the power back to the people.
it will, because the politicians will be forced, and I'll outline constitutional law on them, etc., and all these so-called law professors and all that were barristers because they haven't done their jobs. And I'll outline it because Victoria's state constitution is 1975. They just went to the Privy Council, as I said earlier. They're the Queen's so-called ministers in a court.
I'm going to have to just pull you up there too, because we've
Yeah.
got now 15 seconds to go. All
No,
right.
but I thank everybody for listening. There is
Yes,
a
so do
lot
I.
to know.
Yep.
You'll deal with your birth certificates being traded and all that, which it is. I've got evidence that it is traded. You're worth tens of hundreds of millions of dollars. But it's only circumstantially because we need a bit more proof, in other words. But we're
Well,
doing a royal commission on anything traded, including the share market, just to make it
David,
fair.
you've got everyone thinking. I know that this show has got everybody thinking. It's given them a lot to
Yeah,
consider.
I can tell you, Helen, it's going to have animal rights. We're going to hope to do, if people want animal sanctuaries, we'll work with the indigenous, about all the land and all
So
that
people can
is.
read this. I know that you've got a website, you're getting it up and going,
It's
and
going to be on there soon.
yeah, so it's called Australians for a Better Future
Never.
Together.com.au. Yeah.
That's correct.
Everybody take note of that website because it is going up and they'll be able to get access to the constitution that you're
You'll
drafting.
get a, you'll get things in relation to the state of Victoria first and the new one, and then when we redo the other states, which will be virtually the same, but they'll just have minor differences. Because what we're going to do is, and a lot of people want it, not all, because they have to be educated, that all laws to be the same throughout Australia, only very minor differences, like with Queensland, they've got the Great Barrier Reef.
I gotcha, but I'm going to have to cut you off
Yeah.
there too. I'm so sorry. I wish we had more time.
That's okay. That's
It's
okay.
been a pleasure, David. It really has been a pleasure. I've enjoyed this conversation very much. Thank you so much. for
You are most welcome, and thank you to the listeners. You might have got something out of it, but I can tell you, you will get a lot out of it in different way. But it doesn't matter what country you're in. There's certain things that you can do to affect change lawfully without harm.
That's a great place to finish. Thank you so much, David.
And thank you very much yourself, Helen, and to the listeners as well.
Thank you, David. Okay.
We'll be in touch.